So we're going to jump right in. We're going to read a couple of scriptures. We're going to start off in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. If you've got your Bibles, go there. I wrote my sermon out in my little girl's notebook again because I had packed up my thing. Our cars were so loaded, we hadn't got them unloaded yet. And I couldn't find my boogie board all weekend, so I'm working off paper again. So I was thinking all morning, what box did I put that thing in? I could not find it. All right, let's read here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. I'm going to pull it up on my phone so I don't get to turn around backwards. And I'll tell you why in just a second. All right, starting in verse 29. It says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than the sparrows." Can we jump right over? Let's read on down to 32. It says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Now, can we jump right over to Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 6. And we're going to read that one too. And then we will get started with, it's a very simple message, but I truly feel it on my heart to be important. It says, "So the Lord says, if you have faith as a mustard seed," am I in the right? I'm sorry, I'm in verse 17. Luke 12, verse 6. It says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are all more valuable than the sparrows." Now, we're going to talk a little bit, just a minute, about God's numbering system or God's value system. Now, I don't know about you, but I fall for this all the time. When we walk in grocery stores or we walk in like Brookshire's, how many of you guys have seen the sign that says, "Buy one, get one for a penny"? You said, and, you know, I used to think, wow, I don't need both of these boxes of five sticks of butter, but if I buy this one, I'm going to get this one for a penny. So I'd usually fall for it, end up walking out of the store with 10 sticks of butter, which we will not use in a long period of time. But I think I got this great deal because the grocery store realized that this stick of butter is worth, this box of butter is worth something, but this one's not. And so they're willing to give me, throw this one in free for a penny. And then I got a little smarter and began to realize, you know, a week before they put that sign up there on that, that butter was half that price. So what's really happening is you go into the grocery store and you see the pack of butter that was $1.50 the week before. When they put the buy one, get one for a penny sale on, now it's $4. So what's happening is they've really overvalued that first box of butter and they're willing to give me that other butter for a penny. In the scenario Jesus talked, he told two stories here about birds and sparrows, and he brought out his value system here. In the first scripture we read, it says that, "Is not two sparrows worth one penny?" It says one copper coin, in our mentality, one penny. So two sparrows were worth a penny. In Luke, it says, "Are not five sparrows worth two pennies?" Now, that's a great deal if you're trying to get five sparrows. But what's taking place here, to a shop owner, somehow in this mix, if two sparrows are worth a penny, that's the value of a sparrow. So then, therefore, there ought to be, for two pennies, you should get how many sparrows? Four. But that's not what the scripture says. It says the shopkeeper here is willing to give you a free sparrow. Now, with that thought pattern, you think, wow, I'm getting something. But in the shopkeeper's mentality, what he's saying is, this sparrow is not worth anything. I'm going to give this one away because it's no value to me. If I can get you to buy four, I don't care about this sparrow here. So this morning I want to take the thought pattern on the value system that God sees in you and me. It says here, five sparrows for a penny. For two pennies. Two sparrows for a penny. So that means there's a sparrow in this mix that is worth nothing. They're just willing to give it away or get rid of it. In a shopkeeper's mind, in a shopkeeper's mentality, he has no value for a sparrow. When I was getting ready to share this morning, what I was doing was trying to come up with a great message that would, really be impressive and make people glad we're home. And then God changed it. And I found myself talking about birds and pennies because I didn't really hear God speak. What I felt like I heard coming into the service was what the enemy had been saying to people. I feel like the enemy has been saying that you're a sparrow and there's no value in you. That you're not important. That what you're going through doesn't matter. And to a shopkeeper, a fifth sparrow is valueless. But I love how both of these scriptures say, whether it was two sparrows or whether it was five sparrows, every sparrow, the Bible says, God cared about. And this is what it said. Even though the shopkeeper didn't care if he lost a fifth sparrow, the Bible says that God even noticed when the fifth one falls to the ground. The enemy, has been speaking to so many of us, trying to tell us that there is no value. We are not important. We don't make a difference. What we are or what we do or what we're doing or what we have even done has now brought us to a point where there's no value in us anymore. The word of the Lord this morning is, hey, every sparrow matters to God. And if no one else puts any worth on you, the Bible says that God never misses a sparrow's funeral. It says he notices even when one falls. And he goes to the next point to say this. He even cares more about you that he don't worry about whether we fall. He even worries when our hair falls. And see, that's a full-time job for some of us. Because every morning, for some of us, our hair number changes. You can get up and look on your pillow. Thank Lord, he's got to start counting all over again today. But to God, every one person. So I want to talk just a few minutes this morning about the value in you. Even though the shopkeeper, and let me tell you who the shopkeeper is. The shopkeeper is the enemy this morning. It's the voice of the devil. Been speaking into your life saying, you don't matter. You're not important. Too many mistakes have been made. You don't say, but because see, when you think about a sparrow, you got to think about the kind of bird a sparrow is. Joe's got some pictures of the sparrows here. He can bring up. Sparrow is what you would say an ordinary bird. This morning real early, I got up and I went outside and I was sitting out on a back deck and I was just trying to pin some things. I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart. And when I was, there was this beautiful, it was a little bitty hummingbird come flapping up. And I thought, them are amazing birds. Look how he can just levitate and hover and move. And I'd never seen one, but there was a bug. I've always seen them flying and eating out them, but I've never seen one go on the attack. And this morning I saw this hummingbird. There was this bug messing with him. And this hummingbird went on the attack. And within just a couple minutes, he done pecked at that bug so many times that bug done flew off and got out of there as quick as he could. But man, that's an amazing bird. They can flap their wings like 100 times a minute or what, I don't know the statistics, but I was sitting there watching. Man, that's an amazing bird. And it would have been cool, honestly, if God would have compared us to a hummingbird. Or, in the scripture, God compared us to a lot of kind of birds. There are, he talks about that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They rise up on wings like eagles. Birds are all the way through the Bible. When God talks about them, God used birds. He says the Holy Spirit is like the dove. But this bird is different than the other bird. Sparrows are very insignificant, not pretty birds. And when I try to think of what kind of bird I would like to be like, there's a lot of birds out there. I'd probably rather be a peacock. You know what I'm saying? One, and we probably all know a lot of peacocks, people that like to strut their stuff and show what they've got and, you know, they impress a lot of folks. But the truth of the matter is very few of us really, when it comes down to it, feel like we're peacocks. You know, in the church, there's a breed of bird that goes around called the parrot. A lot of Christians look like parrots and they like to talk. But God didn't compare us to the parrot. What he said here is he compares to a sparrow. Because the enemy has lied to us so many times and made us think in so many ways that we are like the sparrow. When we look in a mirror, we see there's nothing fancy or great about us, but when we look on the stage or we look around us, we see people that do shine or do it, like when we go to Brookshire's and they got one, buy one and get one for a penny. You know, all the value was on that one and we're just worth the penny. I want you to understand something. That's the voice of the enemy. And this is what God says. Every sparrow matters. Every one of us are important. And if the enemy's been lying to you, I want to just challenge some of those thought patterns this morning. See, there were five sparrows there, and one of them was valueless, just willing to throw him in. Now, the sparrow, like I said, they're not a majestic bird. As a matter of fact, they're kind of an odd bird. And a lot of times, the enemy tries to make us feel like we're odd birds. You know, that we're not like the others, or we don't really fit in, or we don't really, you know, make a difference or make aware, draw attention to it. So we try so hard to come to a point where we are significant to some way or somebody. I want you to understand something. God don't make odd birds. God makes specific birds. And if you are different, it's because God made you different. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, the reason why he made you different is because there is a specific plan for you that only you can do. And no one else can do what it is that you were created to do. So absolutely, you are different than any other bird. But the thing about it is, you're not an odd bird, you're a special bird. And you were a bird sent specifically into this situation, into your family. You know, a lot of times people are called the black sheep. No, they're the specific sheep that is made the way that they are made because what God has to do with them is different than any other sheep in that family. Let me show it to you like this. The Bible says that David was different than them all. When God was looking for a king, they all thought that what the king was supposed to look like was going to be the biggest and the strongest and the best looking, the Bible says. The Bible says that God was talked to Samuel and said, I want you to go to Jesse's house. And when you get to Jesse's house, there's seven sons there. And those sons, you know, all of them were amazing. Because when he walked in, he said, man, look at this first one. I got to anoint him. He's a great guy. And when he went to do it, he says, no, that's not the right one. And he started going down the line because every one of them besides David looked kingly. Every one of them besides David looked like they belonged in the throne. But there was a sparrow in that family that the dad had even looked at and thought, he don't even belong at the table with the man of God. And the man of God said, you know what? Something's missing here. I'm looking for a sparrow. Because sparrows matter to God. And the Bible says Samuel told Jesse, he said, do you not have any others? I got a bunch of peacocks and got a bunch of parrots, got a bunch of eagles sitting here, but I'm here specifically for a sparrow. And Jesse said, well, I've got a sparrow out in the field. And they went and got him. And when he saw that sparrow, the Lord says, this is the one. You got to understand, see, God don't work like everybody else works. God always picks from the back of the line. And the enemy has no idea. that when he tries to convince us that we are nothing, we are insignificant, that we're not important, we're different than all the rest, and the enemy tries to tell us that there's something wrong with us, what he don't realize is the sparrow is important to God, and God always picks from the back of it. When he picked his 12, he did not go to where the Pharisees and all the religious folks were. He went to where the men that actually he picked came to work stinking every day, or came to work hated every day. He picked from the back because he created sparrows to be used by God. Let me show you a scripture David said. David said this. Go to Psalms 107, Joe. The brothers that were peacocks and the brothers that were eagles, they were all what others would think one of the first four sparrows. There was value to them. Did you got that Psalms 107? What verse? Let me pull it up. 102. 102:7. That's what it is. Go to 102. It says, I lie awake and I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. Why do I call David a sparrow? Because the enemy had lied to him too and told him that he wasn't an eagle. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a leader. He wasn't all he is a sparrow. And David, rejected by his family, overlooked by his dad, totally looked down upon by his brothers, because when he showed up to kill the king, to kill the giant, all his brothers said, "You can't do that." Totally, totally looked down upon, totally looked at as no ability and no thing. David said this. He says, I lie awake and I'm like a sparrow alone. The enemy's lied to some of us in here today until you know you're alone. What you're going through, and nobody else understands. Nobody else feels that way. Nobody, because you're an odd bird. You're not an odd bird. You're a specific bird. And yes, there are times when sparrows are alone, or they feel alone. But the promise is this: you are never alone. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, because I don't care if you're not an eagle today. I don't care if you're not a peacock today. What I care is that you're a sparrow, and not a single sparrow is ever out of my gaze. And today you may feel alone. Today you may look around and your nest may be a mess. Your family may be broken. You may be here thinking, will I ever find the right mate? Will I ever, my family ever want to have a relationship back with what? I want you to know something. It's just a matter of time. That sparrow, because this is what I love. Am I stuck being ordinary? Am I stuck being out? No, because the Bible does say, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up. Now, you got to understand, it's not amazing when an eagle is an eagle. Eagles are majestic. But you know what's amazing? When a sparrow is an eagle. And it says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. Do you understand what it said? It says that you will have an ability. He will give sparrows abilities to be eagles. Because God's eyes aren't on the eagles. God's eyes are on the sparrows. And I love the fact that when the enemy tries to come in and tell you you're insignificant, you're different, you're odd, God says, you're not odd, you're special. And what other people have discounted, what other people have looked over, what other people have counted as insignificant or unimportant, God is saying, you know what? I created you this way, and it's a matter of time. Now, not only are sparrows odd, you know, but sparrows aren't flashy. You can see a big robin and be like, wow, look at that robin. And it kind of stands out. Sparrows don't do that. Usually when people see a sparrow, they see a bird. They don't see a sparrow. When you see a robin, you call it. When you see a blue jay, you don't hear somebody say, ooh, look, there's a blue. You don't hear them say, look, there's a bird. They say, there's a blue jay, or if you see a car. But when you see a sparrow, most people call it a bird. Because nothing that really stands out or becomes great when it comes to a bird. You're just one of the mix. This is what God says about being one of the mix. See, a lot of times we get lost in the mix. And the enemy tries to say this, especially when it comes to people belonging in churches and doing things great for God. He sees the sparrow. We see the bird. In other words, he gets lost in a mix. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible talks about the mentality of the lost. And he puts great value on the lost. Matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and save the lost. A lot of times, the enemy comes and tries to just convince us that we're lost in the mix. We're not important. We're just one of the bunch. We go to church there, or we work there, or I'm a family member, but I'm just in the mix, but I'm not special, or you get lost in the mix. In the Bible says that the lost are the ones with the most value. Because he came to seek and save the lost. So if the enemy's been in here telling you that you're just lost in the mix, you're overlooked, you're just part of this, there's nothing special about you, the enemy is setting you up for the greatest area of value in your life. You never lose anything of any of unimportance. I have a pen. Well, I had a pen. I've done lost it. When I get pens, I get cheap pens. I know some people that have $100 pens. I know some people that buy these pens that are all special and flashy and nice. But the thing about special, flashy, and nice pens is you got to value pens to have those kind. Because if I have those kind, I will lose it. And if I lose a $100 pen, then I think I lost something. But because I don't use $100 pens, I use cheap pens. When I lose a pen, I don't lose it. I just misplace it. Because you don't ever lose anything that's not valuable. You just misplace it. The very mentality of being lost means you have of great value. How many of you guys have ever lost a blank piece of paper? How many of you guys have ever lost a $20 bill? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you lose something, the very mentality of it being lost means it has value. So if the enemy is telling you you are lost in this mix, if you're at your job and you're doing your best and you're saying, I'm just one of them, I'm just lost in the mix. The enemy is telling you that there is great value. You just have to understand that. Because the whole chapter of Luke 15 is written about lost things. It talks about three different lost things. There's lost sheep, there's lost sons, and there's lost coins. Now, Jesus said, I came specifically for lost things. Not unvaluable things. I came specifically for lost things. And because the fact that the enemy's trying to tell you you're lost, you are valuable. And here it goes saying that there are three different lost things. The lost sheep is this. By nature, sheep get lost. Sheep are not smart animals. They wander off and get lost on their own. That's why they must have a shepherd. And to a sheep that doesn't have a shepherd, you're right. There's not a lot of value there. But a sheep that has a shepherd, there's great value in that shepherd. So much value, the Bible says this. Even though the shepherd had 100 of them, and 99 of them were accounted for, he was willing to walk away from every single one of them to get that one that was lost. There's so much value in you. I love it when the enemy place his hand in your life. It's kind of good because, you know what I'm saying, there's so many times I don't understand what he's doing or understand what, but now I'm beginning to understand. When the enemy tells me I'm just lost in the mix, he's telling me that there's great value in you and that the proof of my value is this. God had everything except for you and me. And he was willing to walk away from it all to make sure. If you would have been the only one on this planet that could have been saved by the cross, he still would have done it. You are not insignificant. You are not just mundane. You are valuable. Now, the son was the rebellious one. You know, when I read those stories, I find myself in that story most of the time. The son was a rebellious one. He didn't realize his value. He was going to go try to make his own value. So he left the house and he found out there. And this is what I love. The lost son, when he decided to come back, he said, you know what? I've gone out and I've lost all my value. I can't be a son anymore. So the only value he saw left in him was to be a servant. He said, you know what? The servants even eat better in my dad's house. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to be a servant. The enemy convinced him that because of decisions he'd made and mistakes he'd done, I've lost all my value and now I will be a servant. That's not the way the daddy looked at him. The daddy, the Bible says, when he saw him coming down the road, he ran to him and he put a robe on his arm, put a ring on his finger, meaning this is my kid. And he brought him into the house and he threw a huge party. You may have made mistakes. There's a story that was written in the Popular Mechanics magazine several years ago about a motorcycle. This guy was shopping at a garage sale one day with his wife. And while he was there, he walked into the garage. It really wasn't part of the garage sale, but everything was there. But it says he saw something under a tarp in the back. So he went to the tarp and he lifted the tarp up. And underneath there was an old, beat up, raggedy motorcycle that really looked just like a motorcycle frame because it had deteriorated to such a point. And so he asked the lady running there, he says, you know, is that bike for sale back there? And the wife said, I have to check with my husband, but I want to get rid of it. So he went and asked her husband, and the husband said, yeah, you know, my wife's been on me and on me and on me about getting rid of this motorcycle. I was planning on fixing it up one day. We just don't have time, so I'll let it go for $50. So he sold the motorcycle for $50. He said, I don't even know if you can still get parts. I don't know what the issue with it is. I've just never had time to tinker with it. So the man took the motorcycle home. And when he did, he got to looking at it. It was an old Harley Davidson. And so he called the Harley Davidson dealership to find out if there was any way to even still get the parts or things to fix it back up. And when he called the Harley Davidson dealership, told him, all right, go get the VIN numbers off the motorcycle. So when he got the VIN number, read them to him. He said, all right, I'll call you back. And a couple hours went by and the man called him back and said, hey, would you be willing to sell that motorcycle? And the man that had purchased the motorcycle thought, you know what? Why do you want to buy it? And he said, no, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $2,000 for the motorcycle. And he said, well, obviously I have something here. So he said, no, I don't think the motorcycle's for sale. And this is what the Popular Mechanic said, the Harley Davidson dealership owner offered him, says, you bring that motorcycle down here and you pick off any motorcycle you want off my showroom floor. I'll trade it for you. And he said, no, I don't think so. And so he hung up the phone, and about an hour later, the legend goes that Jay Leno gave him a phone call and said, would you sell me your motorcycle? And he said, no, my motorcycle's not for sale. So we'll give you $500,000 for your motorcycle. And he said, what is the value of this motorcycle? And Jay Leno told him to go to the motorcycle and take the seat off. When he took the seat off, underneath the seat was a plaque that wrote, for the king. Legend has it that it was Elvis Presley's lost motorcycle that Priscilla Presley had given him back when they were first married. So the value is this. It's not the condition of the motorcycle. It's who the motorcycle belongs to. So you may be in here this morning thinking, you know what, I'm a son. I've made so many mistakes and there's no value left in me. I'm telling you, the word here this morning is this. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. Your value is not seen by others. Your value is seen because you belong to the king. And as long as you belong to the king, that scripture said it like this. It says, if you'll confess the name of the Lord before men, he will confess his name before God. You are a king's kid. And yes, you may have been lost in mistakes that you've made. Yes, you may have done things you never should have done. But your value is not in actions. Your value is not in deeds. Your value is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's who you belong to. And you are not just an ordinary, free, no value sparrow. You may have been lost, but the Bible says this, now you're found. The last thing in Luke chapter 15 says is lost. It says there's a lost coin. It says that there were 10 coins laid on a table in a house. And in the shuffle and in the bustle, one of the coins fell off the table and landed on the floor. Now in Bible days, floors aren't like our floors now. They were mostly made of dust and straw. And so you drop a coin onto a floor with dust and straw. And that coin is hard to find. You're going to have to really look for it. And so it wasn't misplaced. It was lost because of its value. You never misplace or you never lose anything unvaluable. You only lose valuable things. And the Bible says that they had to look and look and look for that coin. In the house, see, the first one happened in the field. The second one happened at the son leaving home. But this third one happened inside of the house. A lot of times, coins get lost in the church. And you may have been sitting here a long time and you think, you know what? I've been misplaced. I've been overlooked. I'm in a place nobody can see me. Nobody can find me. You got to understand something. Just because that coin hit the floor doesn't mean that coin lost its value. As a matter of fact, the longer a coin stays lost, the more valuable a coin becomes. They lost gold coins on the bottom of the sea hundreds of years ago, and they're finding them today, and they're worth thousands of times their value. The longer you've sat here and the longer you've been lost, I want you to know something. The more valuable you're becoming to the plan of God. When a potter makes a vessel, sometimes what he would have to do is he would make that vessel, and if he didn't have time to get it cured, what he would do is he would set it up on a shelf. And there, when it goes into potters and using pottery, they will set some vessels they make on shelves for years, because the longer that vessel sits on that shelf, unused, collecting dust, sitting there, being seemingly overlooked, what's happening is the inside of that vessel is curing harder and harder and harder, because that vessel becomes more valuable and can go through more, do more, and be used more than any vessel that just sat through the cure for a few minutes. What you're going through right now could be your curing season, because God wants to use you in a way that other people can't handle. Other people can't endure. Other people wouldn't be able to withstand. But you're valuable more the more you stay lost. So if you're here this morning, let me tell you, you're lost. Hey, you are worth more than you've ever thought you could be worth. Now, those are for the birds that got lost in the mix. What about the birds that got counted out? You know, the five birds that were there, five birds, it says one was worth nothing, four were worth a lot. The counted out birds, the ones that, you know, really, to the seemingly untrained eye, didn't have any value. You gotta know something. Our God is a Jewish carpenter. Jesus was a Jewish carpenter. You know what that means? He's looking for a great deal. And that's not a racial slur. Jewish men are the best businessmen you've ever met, ever since. Well, they got most of the money. They are great businessmen. And your Jesus was a Jewish carpenter. He knows a good deal. So to the shopkeeper, that fifth bird was useless. In God's hand, that fifth bird was the most valuable bird of all, because he got it for a deal no one else could have got it for. If you think that you're counted out, God's addition system is different. This comes into view when you look at a man named Gideon. Gideon was from the smallest tribe. He came from the smallest family of the tribe. He was so counted out, and he must have been of small stature, because when he pops up on the scene, the Bible says that he was in a wine press pressing grain. And so my mind gets to raising, well, Gideon, were you dumb? Obviously, he wasn't dumb. God don't make dumb people. He makes different people because they're special and they're specific, but he don't make dumb people. So Gideon wasn't dumb, but he was in a wine press pressing grain. You would think a smart man would have been at a grain press pressing grain, but he wasn't. And so he was at the wine press. So why was he not there? Obviously, well, every time he showed up to the grain press, he either got made fun of, he got overlooked, couldn't get his way up to the front. He was obviously, he may have got beat up, maybe got put in the back line there. So he was going to a place that, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't even made right, and he was doing what he could do there. And I love it, when the angel showed up to him, he was completely counted out. And the angel showed up to him and said, hey, Gideon, God wants to use you to lead this army. And Gideon said, you can't use me. I mean, look, I'm hiding. I try to shout back. I try to stay in the place because I can't even make it at the grain press. I have to come to the wine press. My family. And this is what God says. He says, you mighty man of valor. Do you see how God looks at sparrows? He don't look at sparrows like he looks at other things. He saw a sparrow in a wine press pressing grain, and he said, hey, you are a mighty man of valor. He called that sparrow an eagle right there in that weird, odd place. Then it goes on to a step further when he finally convinces, and that's what I'm trying to do, convince some of you guys in here today that what the devil's been telling you is a lie. God took it another step further with Gideon because Gideon said, all right, God, if you can do it, I'll surrender to you and I'll let you do it. And God put him as a leader of an army of 10,000. But God wanted to go a step further with that sparrow. He wanted to say, you know what? You could do this on your own strength with 10,000. But if you're going to do what I created you to do, you're not going to do it with 10,000. You're going to have to do it with me. And it says he sent all the thousands home, and it ended up to being just 300. Led by the littlest, scrawniest, smallest, overlooked of them all. And they had such a great victory. We still talk about it today. Sparrows. The other night I woke up and felt like God told me this. How did Gideon do it? He did it through Christ. He did it through Christ. And I never understood that scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. To the other night, I felt like the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and gave me a revelation. This is what he told me. How do I do it through him? How can you be the best on your job? How can you be the best and do the most? And you got to do it through Christ. What does that mean? That's a complex. My mind just never could wrap it. We learn that scripture and say it all the time, but what's it really mean? I feel like the Lord told me this. The way you do it through Christ is you do it for Christ. If you show up at work in the morning, say, you know what, God, I may be the most insignificant one on this job, but I'm going to work harder than I've ever worked before for you. Because the Bible says, everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. I'm going to do this for you today. And when you choose to do it for him today, if you can't get along with your wife on your own and you say, you know what, God, I'm going to do that for you today. The minute you do it for him, what happens is it opens a door inside of you for Christ to do it through you. To where you will get supernatural ability out of yourself that you never had before simply because you're doing it through Christ. So how do I do it through Christ? You do it for Christ. And when you do it for Christ, it changes everything. How did Gideon with 300 men kill thousands? He did it for God. How does a sparrow release eagle power? You don't do it to do it. You do it for God. And when you do it for God, you can do all things through Christ. Sparrows don't get counted out. Sparrows are actually the one God says, you know what? That's one I can use. What about the sparrow that don't fit in? All right, it's an odd number. 5 sparrows are odd. See, 4 sparrows are even. 2 sparrows for a penny, 4 sparrows for a penny, that's even. But what about the odd? The 5th one is the odd one. Don't fit in. It's not like everyone else. It doesn't make sense. What if the enemy's telling you, you know, you're my odd man out. You don't fit in this place. The value of the one that don't fit in is this. Jesus got up on a morning and went to a well. Specifically, the Bible says, to meet with a lady that did not fit in. And check out the value of her. Check out the value God saw in her. The Bible says he went to a well and he waited. He waited for someone, it says, to give him a drink. He wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. He was specifically waiting. Now, that challenges me because, you know, if Jesus, as busy as he was and as much on the plane, could go and wait for somebody, it challenges me now to have to start being able to be a better waiter. You know what I'm saying? Because I have a hard time waiting on anybody. I have a hard time waiting on Jennifer and the girls to get dressed in the morning. I feel like I got to get there. If Jesus could go there and wait, that's a pretty valuable person he's waiting on. I mean, this is the Son of God sitting at a well waiting for somebody. Obviously, now, if I get a call from certain people and they say, hey, can you meet me there? I get there and I'm excited to meet her. I don't mind waiting because I value that person being important. Do you realize what I'm saying? If President Obama called you guys and said, hey, I want to meet y'all tomorrow, and he's 10 minutes late. The other day, Bill Clinton was in Mobile. And we were right down the road from it, and he was supposed to get there at 7. He did not get there till 8. There was not one person complaining that he was late because they were waiting on him. Does that make sense? Jesus was waiting on the well for this lady, and he didn't get upset. That tells me how valuable the odd man out is. And when he got there, I tell you how odd she was. She had to come to the point to the well in the middle of the day when no one else would come. That's how odd this, like, she didn't, you know, she didn't fit in. It was an odd number because she couldn't go on everybody because nobody wanted to talk to her. Or all they wanted to do is talk about her. And she had to come at an odd time because she was an odd bird. She didn't fit in. Not only that, she didn't have any money or she would have hired a servant to go for her. So she was in an odd situation or financial circumstance. But Jesus still saw such value in her, he was willing to wait. You may be an odd bird. You may be an odd number. You may not feel like you fit in. You are so valuable to God that he will stop whatever he has to stop to make sure you win. The Bible says he stopped the sun for Joshua just to make sure that the battle he was facing, and it had gone longer than he had expected. Let me tell you this. If you're in a battle that's going longer than what you thought it would take to win, God is waiting because he knows your victory is about to come. And he will do whatever it takes to do to make sure you win, even if it is doing the impossible. I want you to know something. The battle that my family won was impossible. But do you see my family sitting right here? He will do whatever he has to do for the sparrow. So you may be odd. Your battle may be long, but it's okay. Jesus was sitting at that well waiting. And check out the value of that lady. It says this. He said, if you would have asked me, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink, I'd give you one. So we're thinking Jesus was there for her. That's not what happened. When she left, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says the disciples came and said, hey, do you want something to eat? And he said, oh no, I'm full. And they say, how can you be full? Who brought you feet? This way he says, I have meat that you know not of. That woman, the odd one that did not fit in, that was in an odd circumstance, in an odd situation, and lived an odd lifestyle. The Bible says the time he spent with Jesus was what fed Jesus. Jesus gets so much from the time he spends with you. You were so valuable to him. You give him something no one else can give him. And that's why he has such big plans for you. Yeah, you may be odd. You may not fit in. But you were made this way by the one who never takes his eyes off the sparrow. Last one I got is this. You may be counted insignificant. You may look at your situation and you think, you know what, there's nothing special about me. The sparrow doesn't have pretty feathers. The sparrow doesn't have, as a matter of fact, it's a small bird. And you know what I'm saying? You never catch anybody saying, hey, I'm going to go sparrow watching. It's insignificant. But to God, you're not insignificant. The Bible says that there was a day that Jesus was walking through the city and the crowds gathered just to catch a glimpse of him. And the smallest, most insignificant, meanest, disliked person was there. And he caught Jesus' attention. As a matter of fact, it says this. In Luke, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, it says the. That means that was an appointed place. It didn't come to a place. A place is general. It says the place. When he came to the place, he looked up. And he saw Zacchaeus in a tree. You think you're insignificant? You're not insignificant. Do you realize that God took the smallest man with the meanest personality and made the most enemies in that town and said, today I'm going to your house. Because, see, in that house, a miracle took place that the whole city was saved. Man, if God could save him, God could save anybody. You're not insignificant. I want to go to one more scripture. Joe, go to Psalms, that other Psalms I had on you. I'm off my notes. But Psalms 84:3 says this. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of the hosts, my King, my God. You may be the oddest of them all. You may not think you fit in. You may think you're insignificant. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says sparrows are sparrows. God loves sparrows. He values sparrows. He keeps his eyes on the sparrow. And he creates a place for them in ways that he doesn't create for anyone else. It says he creates a place for them in his house. You say, Cricket, where do I belong? What do I do? If you can't belong and you, the enemy's been telling you you're an odd man out, you belong here because there's a great ministry waiting for you in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to start working out for you till you take your place. He says that even the sparrow builds a nest in the altars. If the enemy's been lying to you, what he's been trying to do is shoo you out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if you've ever been doing something or been somewhere and the birds start coming, you try to shoo them away and get them away. The enemy's been trying to shoo you out from building a nest. Now, we at our old house, we had a porch and the birds would always get up right up under the eave and build a nest, which we thought was cute at first, till the mess they started making on the ground. And then I would go out there and break their nest down all the time. I won't do that anymore. The reason why I'm not going to do that anymore is this. Because every bird has a place. God sees the value in them. And yes, there are messes some of us make. But if we belong anywhere, we belong in the house of God. Let me tell you, it amazes me when it comes to God and his character and his patience. You know, when he told Noah to build the ark, and he built the ark, he made sure. The Bible says that God closed the door. The door did not close on the ark until the snail and the turtle got in. Do you realize how much patience that would have had to take? If it would have been me running the door, I thought, oh, we can do without them. But the snail and the turtle were so important and so valuable to God, he did not even close the door till they got on. And so this challenges me. Why can't I have patience with somebody? Got to wait on a snail to get on a boat. Why can't I wait for somebody to get it together? Why can't you wait on somebody to get it together? Because obviously you don't see the value in them. God sees in them. You don't see, it may take somebody longer to get there than it took you to get there, but that don't change their value. They're more valuable to God, I got to tell you, than you are. Do you know how I know? Because the Bible says they're the apple of his eye. And you know what? In their world, I'm more valuable to God than they are. Because I'm the value. I'm the apple of God's eye. You don't think you fit in? You think you're insignificant? Tell you, he ain't going to close the door till you get on that boat. You, whatever storm you're going through, the door will not close till you're on the boat. Because God sees value in this prayer. One more story and I'm done. There was a professor at a seminary that took his family on vacation up to East Tennessee. And while they were there, he was eating dinner at a small restaurant on the side of the road. And he was talking with his family. And as he was talking, there was an older gentleman going from table to table, just talking to people. And the professor thought, oh, Lord, he's coming to my table. I got to talk to somebody. We're on vacation. I don't want to be bothered with this. The old man came up and began to talk to him. He said, where are y'all from? He told him, he says, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a professor at a seminary. I teach preachers how to be preachers. And the old man said, you know what? A preacher changed my life one day. He goes, really? He said, yeah. He said, I grew up not knowing who my dad was. He said, and as I grew up not knowing who my dad was, I struggled with this most of my young life. He said, I didn't ever feel like I fit in. I didn't ever feel like, he said, you know, when dads would do things with their kids and my friends, and I wasn't a part of it. I always felt like I got left out. And then my mom joined the church. We go to church and it's like all the other kids and families would do things. And I was always, so I started just pulling back and being left alone. He said, I was got to where I sat on the very back row of a church because my mama made me come there because I didn't feel like I belonged in any way. Didn't know who my dad was. Kids would make fun of me. I was called names. He said, and I just decided I got to get through this. He said, and one day the preacher of that church walked over to me and leaned down and said, I know who your daddy is. He said, I told him, who's my daddy? He said, God's your daddy. And he's the greatest daddy in the world. And he loves you more than any daddy could ever love you. And the old man said, and something clicked in me that day. I began to realize I am somebody's. I do belong. And he said, it changed my life forever. And he said, my daddy's been good to me. And the old man left the store. The preacher got up from his table, was checking out. And he said, who was that old man? And the lady checking him out said, you don't know who he is? I said, that's Bob Hooper. He's a multi-millionaire. He's worked his whole life. He's done more for this community than any other man that's ever come through. And he's been the governor of Tennessee 2 times in a row. And see, to that preacher that day, that man was insignificant. But because that man knew who his daddy was, he changed thousands of lives. I'm telling you, the enemy's been trying to tell you, you're insignificant, you don't matter, you're not important, nobody cares, even God has forgotten what you're going through. You're overlooked, and you're an oddball, and you don't fit in. One scripture, and we're going to close with prayer. In Isaiah chapter 44. Took me a long time to get here, but this is what I felt like I came here to say today. It says, remember these, O Jacob. Now you got to remember who Jacob was. He was a scoundrel. He was a shyster. He'd made huge mistakes, lied, cheated, anger, all these issues. Then it says this, O Jacob, and who? Israel. Do you know who God changed Jacob's name to? Israel. Halfway through Jacob's life, his name went from Jacob to Israel. And that happened during the struggle he was in a late night when he was scared to death. It says this, you are my servant. I have formed you. And it says, you, O Israel. No longer is it Jacob. Didn't call him Jacob anymore. It says, you will not be forgotten. I want to tell every sparrow in here today, you are God's. He has his eye on you. You're not going through this thing alone. You're not being overlooked. God is your shepherd. He's your father, and he has a plan and a destiny for you. You are significant, and it will not be this way much longer.